Now, just on 8:30, Saturday Night Theatre.
We present Persuasion by Jane Austen, adapted for radio by Dennis Constanturis.
Sir Walter Elliot of Kellynch Hall in Somerset was a man who, for his own amusement, never took up any book but the baronetage. There he found occupation for an idle hour and consolation in a distressed one. There his faculties were aroused into admiration and respect, and there any unwelcome sensations arising from domestic affairs changed naturally into pity and contempt. As he turned over the almost endless creations of the last century, he could read his own history with an interest which never failed, for this was the page at which the favourite volume lay always opened.
Elliot, Sir Walter, Baronet of Kellynch Hall in the county of Somerset. Wife, deceased. Issue, Elizabeth, born 1785, Anne, 1787, and Mary, 1791. Hobbies, genealogy, and those pursuits pertaining to a country gentleman. Yes, yes. Reads very well. Oh, Anne, what is it? Pray knock before you come in.
Father, there is a man outside. He insists upon seeing
you. Some low fellow, I have no doubt. Some tradesman. Tell him to deal with Shepherd by agent.
He has done so, Father, but says he has had no satisfaction.
Father, I dislike having to say this, but I am beginning to feel that some form of retrenchment in our style of living is unavoidable.
Ah, Elizabeth, my dear, you're looking very fine, very fine. That gown becomes you.
Thank you, Father.
Father, let me speak to Lady Russell. She may have some plan of action that would put us on our feet again.
Thank you, Anne. Lady Russell is a woman of breeding, I grant you, but I scarcely think we shall require her assistance. However, you may mention the subject if you wish. I have no objection.
Dear Anne, you of all three girls are the most like your poor mother. I feel it an obligation on my part to take her place whenever I can.
Oh, you do, Lady Russell, you do. You are most helpful in all matters that concern my father. He has the greatest respect for your judgment.
That I take leave to doubt, my dear. However, I've foreseen something of this sort for a long time. Of course, if dear Elizabeth should be fortunate enough to marry well, and she is handsome enough in all conscience to secure anybody in the land...
I hope when Elizabeth comes to marry, it will be for the reason that her heart is engaged and no other.
Oh, of course, my dear, of course, you're quite right. But there was a time a while back when I hoped that your cousin, Mr. Elliot... But there...
His behaviour was quite odious.
Oh, quite, quite.
She was very much hurt in her pride.
And I don't blame her. But he is your father's heir, my love. One day, whether one likes it or not, he will presumably be master of Kellynch. It would have been, convenient. But no matter. I know you disapprove of such practical considerations, and your feelings do you credit. Yes, I will certainly turn my mind to your present problems and make whatever suggestions your father will permit.
What? Every comfort of life knocked off? Journeys to London, servants, horses, table, contractions and restrictions everywhere? Intolerable. What say you, Shepherd?
Well, this is extremely stringent, Sir Walter, I agree.
Papa, these are mere suggestions. It's very kind of Lady Russell to concern herself on our behalf.
Perhaps, Papa, if we were to give up the idea of new furnishing the drawing room... And again, if we were to tell Mary and Charles we simply cannot afford to have them and the children to stay this year, they really are dreadfully noisy now, those boys.
Yes, 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 Elizabeth, my dear, that I would be prepared to agree to. But these other suggestions, to live without even the decencies of a gentleman, that I cannot countenance. I'd sooner quit Kellynch Hall at once than remain here on such terms.
I must say, Father, I'm inclined to share your feelings. One has one's pride.
And one's duty as the head of a respected and admired family. Eh, my dear?
Precisely.
Oh, indeed. I see your point. I see it clearly. Sir Walter Elliot must indeed be expected to maintain the very highest standards in all matters. Naturally. Naturally.
Perhaps, Father, if a suitable tenant could be found for Kellynch, we might winter agreeably in Bath or even London.
Indeed. Why not, Monsieur? Indeed. Why not?
Oh, not Bath, please. I must confess an aversion to the place ever since I went to school there.
That would be an admirable suggestion, Sir Walter. Admirable. The present moment is most propitious for such a venture. This peace will be turning all our naval officers ashore, rich with their prize money.
He would be a very lucky man, Shepherd, who secured Kellynch Hall even for a season. That would be a prize, indeed.
Quite, Sir Walter. I'm certain something highly satisfactory can be arranged. I will advertise the matter
advertise?
At once.
Advertise? Did you say...
Well, if you wish...
I hope, sir, you would not expose me to such vulgarities.
I was merely...
I should require the whole matter to be conducted with the utmost discretion, naturally.
Thank you, Father.
Oh, indeed, Sir Walter, indeed. In fact, I already know of a certain personage who, I understand, is anxious to find such a property. A very fitting personage, I think you'll agree. An admiral.
That tells me nothing. The Navy has always been notorious for bringing persons of obscure birth to positions of prominence. Besides, the exposure to all weathers is most damaging to the appearance. I have no doubt your fellow will prove to be brick red in complexion and plagued with the gout, though he be but 45.
If he is prepared to pay what you demand, Papa, I really don't see that the colour of his complexion need concern us.
Well, now, Sir Walter, I will put the matter in hand as soon as possible. I forgot to mention that there would be no children. Mrs. Croft is without family.
Well, that is indeed a great consideration. Mrs. Croft, did you say?
And a lady without children is surely the best possible preserver of furniture, I think you'll agree, Miss Elizabeth.
Oh, indeed.
And, moreover, her family has connections with this part of the country. In fact, she's sister to a gentleman whom you already know, I believe. Oh, dear me, I forget the name.
Captain Wentworth.
Yes, that was it. Wentworth.
Wentworth. I don't recall anyone of that name.
Well, you probably wouldn't, Papa. He came here on several occasions some years ago, but they are not people of any particular consequence.
Excuse me.
What's that, Bridget?
Oh, if we have finished our deliberations, you will not be wanting me any further. Good morning, Mr. Shepherd.
Oh, good morning, Miss Anne.
Elizabeth, what is the matter with your sister?
I'm afraid I have no notion, Papa.
I thought her complexion a little sallow at breakfast this morning. But then, alas, it often is, I'm afraid.
So Captain Wentworth's sister is to be the new mistress of Kellynch. My poor Anne, what a cruel stroke of irony.
I must confess that I could not hear the news so calmly as I ought, even at this distance of time.
My dear, I have always felt that you must hold me responsible for your disappointment.
I hope I've never betrayed my feelings too openly, Lady Russell.
You have been admirable, my dear, as you always are, but, Anne, he was not good enough for you.
On that point, I'm afraid we differ.
Oh, a personable young man in many ways, I grant you, but wanting in those stable qualities of character that alone could make him worthy of my most excellent Anne.
You did not truly know him, Lady Russell. You could not have done, or you would never speak so.
But Anne...
However, let us not continue upon a subject on which I'm afraid we shall never agree. Especially as the matter is no longer of any importance.
How can you say that?
I mean merely that the Anne Elliot Captain Wentworth remembers, if he does indeed remember me, was a girl of 19. The Anne Elliot he would find today is a woman of 27. I need hardly say more.
I shall not answer as I would like, because knowing you, my dear, it would do no good. But if that is how you truly feel, what shall you do?
I don't know. Father and Elizabeth, I believe, intend taking rooms in Bath.
And you, of course, would join them.
Well, that remains to be seen, Lady Russell.
Well, now, Elizabeth, my dear, so it is all signed and completed.
I hope our Cardinal Croft is sensible of the position he'll be assuming, Papa.
Oh, I think I made him aware of it, my love. He's not a bad fellow. Not a bad fellow at all. And tolerably well-looking for a sailor. In fact, if my own man could have had the arranging of his hair, I should not have been ashamed of being seen with him anywhere.
I have been thinking, Papa. When we go to Bath, perhaps I might suggest that Mrs. Clay joins us for a time, if you would not object.
Mrs. Clay, my dear? My own agent's daughter?
Yes.
Might that not cause certain difficulties socially? I mean, she would be bound to feel the difference in her situation. A young widow in her circumstances, I should imagine.
Oh, I know her situation is unfortunate, Papa. But she would be greatly honored, I know, to be invited.
I don't doubt it, my dear.
I feel sure you would enjoy her society. She has a lively wit and a shrewd observance.
Then, by all means, invite her, my dear.
Thank you, Papa. She will be most gratified, I'm sure.
Just one small point, Elizabeth, yes. My dear. If she is to be one of our party, can you not advise her to the use of a skin food or pomade? Oh, those freckles. I cannot abide freckles on a woman.
I will do my best, Papa. I'm sure if she knew that was your feelings, she would do her utmost to secure a remedy. She sets the highest possible value on your approval and regard, I know.
But does she, my dear, does she? Aha! She's quite an intelligent young woman, certainly. And not ill-favored for one of her circumstances, but for the defect I've already mentioned. She may come as long as she wishes.
Thank you indeed, Papa. I'm most grateful. She will provide me with company. Anne, of course, detests Bath.
Ah, yes. Your sister Anne, of course. If she doesn't accompany us, what will she do, do you suppose?
I don't really know, Papa. But I think you need not have too much concern on that account. Mary, I'm sure, will give her a bed at Uppercross, at least for a while. I will say this for Anne. She is tolerably good with the children. Anne, so you are come at last.
Mary.
I began to think I should never see you. I'm so ill, I can hardly speak.
But, Mary, you never told me you were like this.
Oh, those children. The noise goes right through my head.
No, don't get up. I will shut the window.
Thank you.
You sent me such a good account of yourself on Thursday.
Oh, well, I made the best of it. I always do.
There. Is that better?
I don't think I was ever so ill in my life as I felt this morning. And Charles out shooting all day. He would go. I made it perfectly plain how I was.
Oh, and Charles's family at the big house, are they all quite well?
So far as I know. Though not one of them has been near to inquire after me. I cannot say I particularly want a visit from Miss Henrietta or Miss Louisa, though, just at this moment. Oh, those girls. They do nothing but talk and laugh at the tops of their voices.
Oh, really? I thought they were such a charming pair when last I saw them. Not specially clever, perhaps, but full of good nature and high spirits.
Oh, well, you may find them so, I suppose. Ooh!
Mary, what is it? Oh, what's the matter?
It'll pass in a moment. Ooh. Oh. Oh, that's better. Oh, Anne, I'm so wretchedly unwell, yet nobody seems to care.
But when did this begin?
I felt the first twinges as soon as we got into the carriage to come home from the pools last night.
Oh, so you were well enough yesterday to go out to dinner, then?
Oh, yes. Though it was scarcely a very enjoyable evening. But at least they do keep an excellent table, that I will say, though the company's so dull. Then, as I say, sitting in that stuffy carriage, bumping home between those two great boisterous girls, I began to suffer such acute discomfort. I was almost obliged to ask them to draw up. But, of course, I tried to keep quiet and say nothing of it. Naturally.
Oh, poor Mary.
Then after, I scarcely slept a wink all night. But, of course, nothing would disturb Charles. He sleeps like a log. Well, now, since you've come at last, what would you care to do? Shall we stroll up to the house and call upon the Musgroves? They're sure to want to see you.
Oh, Mary, do you think you should?
And why not, pray? Everyone seems quite determined that I should have no company at all. But I am not so easily put down, I can assure you.
Oh, very well, then. Let us go by all means. A little exercise is often good for the digestion.
Oh, do you suffer with your digestion, then?
Indeed, no, not I.
We won't take the boys with us. Their grandmother Musgrove spoils them dreadfully and gives them so much trash and sweet things. They come home sick and cross for the rest of the day. Boys! Boys! I'm just going up to the big house for a while. Boys! Oh, well. They pay no heed to anything I say. Let their father deal with them for once. But come on, Anne. If we go now, we might just arrive in time for a glass of sherry and a biscuit. Mary, my dear, how well you look this morning. And Anne, oh, this is a pleasure. Louisa, Henrietta, come. Look who's here.
Oh, Mary! Mary, why did you not come sooner?
We've just had visitors.
You'll never guess who.
The new people from Kellynch.
Admiral Croft and his wife.
And her brother.
Captain Wentworth.
He's so handsome, you'd never believe.
Oh, he's quite splendid, honestly. Isn't he, Mama?
Girls, what a way to talk, indeed. And you haven't even so much as said good morning to poor Anne.
Oh, Anne, I'm so sorry.
Do please forgive us, dear Anne. We're not quite ourselves, are we, Louisa?
Indeed, I'm not. I declare I feel quite strange.
No, the party from Kellynch has been... Well, it's just my luck, I suppose, that I should have missed them. If you had not kept me talking so, Anne, they might have been still here.
That's right, Henrietta, dear. Take Mary through into the garden. Anne and I will follow you in a moment.
And it was not just Henrietta. And I liked him so. Papa quite doted on him, didn't he?
I declare we could hardly get a word with him from the moment Papa came into the room.
Oh, dear.
There, my dear. I hope you don't mind, but I just wanted a private word with you.
Oh, certainly, Mrs. Musgrove. On what subject?
Those two boys of Charles and Mary's. Oh, Miss Anne, I cannot help wishing Mrs. Charles had a little of your method with them.
Mine, Mrs. Musgrove?
Oh, they are dear boys, I know. And it's not their fault that they behave as they do, for their dear mother has no more idea of how they should be treated than that sofa.
I scarcely know what to say.
Bless me, how troublesome they are sometimes when they come down here, and never so much as a word of reproof from her. Believe me, it prevents me asking them as much as I would. And I know Mary must wonder why, for she's always hinting that she should bring them. But it's so bad that I should always be saying, no, you cannot do this, or you cannot have that, while she sits by saying nothing. But poor little creatures, somebody must curb them.
Yes, indeed. I do understand your feeling.
But there. Oh, we must follow them out. Oh, she'll wonder what I have been saying. You'll not repeat it, of course.
Oh, no, of course not.
Dear Mary, I'm very fond of her, really, but I just wanted you to know the true situation.
Of course.
Oh, there you are then, Mary, dear. I hope my poor girls have not quite overwhelmed you. They are a little excited this morning, I'm afraid.
Oh, Mama! Papa says the party from Kellynch are to come to dinner next Wednesday. Isn't that not splendid?
Oh, Louisa, dear, do not raise your voice so. I am not hard of hearing.
They must all come, must they not, Mama? Mm. Charles and Mary.
Well...
Thank you very much, I'm sure.
Oh, and of course you, Anne.
Oh, your numbers will be quite sufficient without me.
No, she must come, must she not, Mama?
Yes.
Wait till you meet him.
Oh, he's quite the finest addition we've had to the neighbourhood for a long, long time, I can assure you. Is he not, Henrietta?
Yes.
Well, really, Charles, I declare. Isn't that just my luck?
What is, my dear?
Mary, has anything happened?
Oh, no, indeed. Nothing, I can assure you. Little William, if you please. Your mother, Charles. She will insist the boys go up there and gets quite hurt if I refuse. So today, as I wanted to look out my dress and so on for tonight, I let them go. And what happens? She lets him climb a tree and he falls straight out of it upon his head, if you please.
Oh, poor little fellow.
Poor chap, is he bad?
Well, of course he's bad. He has a most unsightly lump upon his forehead. Bad enough to keep us both at home this evening anyway.
Oh, I see no reason why we should both stay, my dear. I have rather a wish to meet this fellow Wentworth, actually. I understand he's a capital shot. I will make your excuses to mother and father. Is he in bed, that young invalid? I must go up and see how it is with him. You stay here with Anne.
Well, did you hear that? Did you hear what he said?
Poor William. He will need special attention, certainly.
So he will go, and I am to stay behind. I did not think Charles could be so unfeeling. If there is anything disagreeable to be done, men are always out of it, if you notice. I hope I am as fond of my child as any mother. But I do not know that I am any more use in a sick room than Charles is. In fact, the sight of blood is always particularly trying on my nerves. But it's bound to be especially so, I think, with a mother.
one has too much sympathy.
Oh, well, there's an end of it, I suppose. I need not have bothered to look out my dress.
Look, Mary, why do not you and Charles both go and leave me to take care of William?
Oh, no, no. It's very good of you, but it will not do. I must stay. Thank you all the same, but no.
But why not? Do you not think I would look after him properly?
Oh, goodness, it's not that. No, I'm sure you'd do it better than I. Far better. And he's forever asking for his Auntie Anne.
Well, then?
Oh, Anne, if you would. I feel Mrs. Musgrove particularly wishes me to meet Mrs. Croft. And, of course, her brother. Oh, I'd say nothing more of the matter. And I know you never object to an evening on your own. Oh, dear, we've been so long over this, I shall have to hurry.
Captain Wentworth, are you quite comfortable there on the sofa?
Exceedingly, thank you, Mrs. Musgrove. I'm well protected on either flank, as you can see.
You look so cramped. Girls, do give the captain a little more room, please.
Oh, Mama!
Please don't interrupt. So, your first ship was the Asp, then?
Oh, do tell us about the Asp. Mm. I adore hearing about ships of all things in the world.
Poor old Asp, she was quite worn out when they gave her to me. Only fit to be broken up. So, of course, they sent us off for a 6-month cruise to the West Indies.
What? In a ship that was not fit to put to sea?
Now, the Admiralty entertain themselves now and then by sending a few hundred men to sea in an old tub that can scarcely keep them afloat.
Oh.
It's a kind of sport to them.
But how wicked. Mama, did you hear that?
What happened? Tell us what happened on the voyage.
Well, of course, we'd not been at sea 24 hours and we ran into a gale. And I thought I should have been the late gallant Captain Wentworth small paragraph at the bottom of your newspapers.
Oh.
Because being lost in merely a sloop, of course, one can expect no more.
She saw some little boys playing in the road,
at which she appeared much hurt and cried out, "Oh, Aunt, God cannot love those poor boys, nor they him, for they are playing on the Sabbath. Before I knew you, I used to do so myself. But it was very wicked of me. William? William, dear?
Thank you, Jemima. That will be all. You may go to bed now, if you wish.
Goodness me, is that the time? I was near asleep, I can tell you, the last half hour or so.
Yes, Charles, dear, so I observed.
Oh, I must get to bed if I'm to take the good captain and the admiral shooting tomorrow.
Anne, my dear, you did well not to go. The room was so hot, I have quite a headache. But Captain Wentworth is charming, is he not, Charles?
Shh, shh, shh. What's the matter?
Little William.
Oh, yes.
How is he?
Oh, he's sleeping quite soundly. I think he has suffered no serious damage.
I had not forgot, of course. In fact, the thought of him quite spoilt my evening.
Yes, my love, I'm sure.
And really, Charles, your two sisters. Oh, they're good-hearted girls, and we all love them, of course. But your mother should speak to them. She really should. They're not children anymore. Poor Captain Wentworth. I'm sure they pestered him, so I was quite sorry for him.
Yeah, I think he bore it pretty well, my love. He didn't look to me like a man who was suffering much.
Did he not? Well, perhaps you didn't observe him as closely as I, dear. He kept throwing me glances as though to say, I would like to come and talk to you, but you can see how I'm placed. For to be sure, they sat so close upon him, poor fellow, he could scarcely move.
I saw him make no very great effort to escape, my dear. Poor Charles Hayter, he could get no word out of Henrietta at all. His nose is quite out of joint, I'm afraid.
Oh, well, that's no bad thing, if you ask me. I can't think what your mother's about, letting him see as much of Henrietta as he has. The haters are nothing very great, to put it at its best.
No, Charles is not a bad fellow. And quite a tolerable shot. Which reminds me, I must get to bed, or I shall be good for nothing tomorrow. We're to have a day shooting together, Wentworth and I, and, of course, the Admiral.
Captain Wentworth is coming here.
We're not shooting here, over at Kellynch. I offered our coverts first, but he wouldn't hear of it. Insisted it should not be here.
Oh, indeed.
I think it was on my account, Charles. He knew that I had a sick child and was anxious I should not be put to any extra trouble. I thought it very fine and considerate of him. It's a pity, though, because now you will not meet him, Anne. Never mind. I know you're always quite happy in the nursery.
Well, I think I'm for bed. Oh, he asked after you, Anne, by the way.
He asked after me? Who?
Who, Charles?
Captain Wentworth, my love.
Captain Wentworth? Asked after Anne? I did not hear him.
No, my dear, that is not surprising. You ladies had left the room.
What did he say?
Oh, I forget exactly. Nothing very particular. Asked if you were quite well, I think. I shall fall asleep if I stay down here much longer. Good night, Anne.
Good night.
Coming, my love?
Oh, dear. Oh, I have such a headache this morning. I think it must be the effect of that hot room last night. That will do, thank you, Jemima. We shall not require anything further.
Well, well, a splendid day for our shoot. Most fortunate. Shall you be joining us for luncheon with the other ladies, Anne? I hope very much that you will.
Oh, Anne does not care for sport, do you, Anne?
I'm sure I don't know why you should say that, Mary. I care for it at least as much as you, I fancy.
Anne will be quite well occupied in the nursery, I'm sure. Yes, Anne. You've made quite a conquest there, if nowhere else. He quite dotes upon his Auntie Anne.
Well, judging by the sounds I heard as I dressed this morning, he is quite recovered and will certainly not need any more nursing.
Well, I know who will not be slow to join us for luncheon if Wentworth is to be there.
Henrietta, you mean?
As a matter of fact, it was Louisa I had in mind. It was she, I thought, who seemed to take his fancy the more.
Oh, Charles, really, how can you say such a thing? It was Henrietta who drew his banter all the evening, while she, poor thing, had no eyes for anyone else in the room. But it was most particular. One simply couldn't help remarking it, though she's your sister.
Oh, well, no matter which it is, I'm sure Wentworth would be a capital match for either. From what I hear, he must have made not less than 20,000 at least by the war. Well, I must go and make sure that all is ready if I'm to be at Kellynch by 10:30.
Charles may say what he pleases, but it is nonsense to say that Captain Wentworth prefers Louisa to Henrietta. His preference was most marked, I thought. And of course, Charles is so positive, and he must always take the opposite side from me. Oh, but there. You haven't made a very good breakfast, have you?
I have had quite sufficient, thank you.
Well, I know one thing. You cannot possibly go out and join the gentlemen on such a poor breakfast as that. If there is anything they cannot abide, it is females who complain of feeling faint and unwell when they're engaged in their sport.
Now, when have you ever heard me complain of feeling faint or unwell?
But if you will excuse me, I must go up to my room and take a glass of physic. Oh, this head of mine is quite agonizing. It's always so when we've been dining at the big house, I find. But dear Charles, of course, is quite unconcerned, so long as nothing interferes with his precious day's shooting. Oh, good morning, sir.
Good morning. My name is Wentworth, Captain Wentworth. Could I speak to Mr. Musgrove, please?
Well, Mr. Musgrove's in the gunroom at the moment, sir, but he won't be many minutes if you care to come inside.
Thank you.
There's Miss Elliot in the sitting room with Master Walter, if you care to go in.
No! Walter, there's a
boy. No, I won't disturb her, thank you. I'll wait here, if I may.
Very good, sir.
My hair, you naughty boy. No.
Excuse me.
That hurt. No, Walter. Walter.
That's enough of that, sir. Leave go at once.
John.
Outside with you this minute, sir. Yes, I should think so, indeed. Take him away, would you?
Yes, sir.
Oh, you naughty boy. Come on.
Oh. Thank you. That was most kind.
Not at all.
I'm afraid the fault was largely mine. I encouraged him in the first place. Then he became too rough. Oh, dear, my hair. Excuse me.
If you would prefer it, I'll leave you.
Oh, no, please. I mean, if you do not object, I don't. There. The trouble is nearly mended. Charles will be here in a moment, I'm sure.
I came merely to tell your brother-in-law that I'm afraid the shoot is off.
Oh, dear, why is that?
My sister's husband, the Admiral, has rather a severe attack of gout this morning.
Indeed? I'm very sorry to hear that, poor man.
Oh, it's a recurrent trouble, I'm afraid, but not serious. I took the liberty of calling in at the big house as I came past to take the news.
Oh, the Miss Musgroves will be greatly disappointed, I'm afraid. They were hoping to drive over and join you gentlemen later.
Well, yes. They proposed instead a country walk.
Oh, an excellent idea.
I was to come on ahead and make the suggestion to your brother-in-law and his wife. And yourself, of course. The girls will follow shortly. There. Now I've discharged my duty.
You may expect me back about 5 o'clock.
That sounds like Charles now. Charles, you have a visitor.
Aye? Who is that, for goodness sake?
Well, come and see. Now, if you'll forgive me.
A walk? Well, of course I should enjoy a walk. Whatever makes you think I should not?
But a very long walk.
Over the hill and through the woods towards Winthrop. Mm. That was the intention, wasn't it, Louisa?
It looks as though Mr. Reader and Miss Henrietta mean to test us to the utmost this morning. See which of us all is the better man, eh?
Oh, come on. Unless we start soon, we shall not get back before dark. Anne, you'll come, won't you?
Well, to save further argument, I propose that Wentworth and I start slowly on ahead and the ladies catch us up as soon as they're ready. There you are, Lime Bay in all its splendor.
Oh, look, everybody. Did you ever see anything half so fine, eh?
Let me see. Oh, I've never in my life seen lime.
Never seen lime? Poor Miss Louisa, that must be remedied instantly. Here, let me lift you onto this stile.
Oh, thank you.
Hold on to my hand. There we are. Now then, what do you think of that, eh?
Oh, it's superb. Magnificent. Oh, Charles, I should love of all things to go there one day.
Oh, yes, Charles. Maybe not.
Yes.
All of us. Go there one day for a visit.
Yes, yes.
Why not indeed? Oh. If we are not to shoot, then we must employ ourselves somehow, I suppose, eh,
Wendell?
I should like nothing better. I've many friends in Lyme.
Oh, yes, let us.
Here, steady, Miss Louisa. Don't let your excitement topple you.
We're a millionaire, I wonder. Ah, here they come at last. Come on, you two. There's a fine view up here.
He knows I always become breathless if I have to walk uphill. Oh, this mud.
Well, I told you, did I not? Those shoes would not do.
Oh, I feel quite ill. I have such a stitch in my side. Oh, you're fortunate to be so strong. I must sit down a moment.
Oh, come along, you two.
Come along, he says. He would scarcely notice if I were to drop dead in a ditch. I simply have not breath enough to answer.
I must say, I'm quite weary myself. Sit there a moment. Perhaps you'll feel better.
Come on, dump me down. Captain Wentworth, dump me. Come on.
Look at Louisa. Oh, really, I don't care what Charles says, but her mother should speak to her.
Oh, surely it's any high spirits.
She should not have such spirits at her age. It's not becoming. Poor Captain Wentworth. You could see he scarcely knew where to look. And see... she's taking him off aside somewhere, on their own. Oh, Anne, even you must admit that's scarcely proper.
The others are beckoning to us. Look, they want us to go on.
No, it's no good. I'm far too unwell. I can go no further.
No,
take no notice. You go on with the others. Please. Enjoy yourself. Oh, dear, this grass is quite damp. I can feel it through already. If Charles asks, tell him I'm walking home. By myself. Oh, no, leave me, please. It's never my wish to be a burden to anyone. I expect I can manage.
Yes, Mary's good-natured enough in many respects, but, she does sometimes provoke me excessively by her nonsense and pride. The Elliot pride. She has a great deal too much of it.
Excuse me. I thought I heard a movement of some sort. I must have been mistaken. I beg your pardon.
Of course, we all greatly wish that Charles had married Anne instead.
Anne? Do you mean that she refused him?
Oh, as to that, I don't know. I always understood there was some prior attachment on her side at the time, but that Lady Russell was not in favour of it. Oh, I know we were all greatly disappointed when Charles married Mary instead. But that's quite between ourselves, of course. There... I think I see the others waving. We've been absent too long, I fear.
I cannot go Wednesday. I'm shooting.
Well, Thursday then.
Thursday would suit me better.
Then Thursday it is.
Musgrove.
Here are Louise and Captain Wentworth at last. Oh, and Anne, look. Where have you been? Listen, everybody. We're all to go to Lyme this very Thursday. Is that not a splendid arrangement?
Is this not beautiful? Of all things, I adore the picturesque.
May we not walk on the cob? Oh, Captain Wentworth, maybe not.
If you ladies wouldn't find it too windy, yes, why not?
Oh, it's not too windy. Not the least little bit.
Anne, Elsa, there you are. Where is Mary?
Oh, Mary is a little fatigued. She's resting. Besides, she finds it too boisterous on the cob.
Oh, dear. Perhaps I should go back to her. Oh, just one moment, Anne. This gentleman wishes to pass.
Oh, I beg your pardon, sir. I'm so sorry. I wasn't aware.
Oh. Thank you. Thank you.
Impudent fellow. Did you see how he stared at you?
Did he? I didn't notice.
If that is their idea of manners in these parts, I do not care for them. Ah, Wentworth has met some more friends, I see.
Oh.
Half the Navy lives in Lyme, it seems.
May I present my old friends and shipmates, Captain Harville and Captain Bennick. Miss Anne Elliot, Charles Musgrove.
How do you do, sir? My wife and I were hoping when you finished your work, you'd do us the great honor of paying us a brief visit.
Oh, that's very kind, Captain Harville.
Our quarters are just yonder, overlooking the cob. Capital situation for a seaman, eh, Wentworth?
Yes, indeed.
Really, Captain Bennick, there is so much of the Navy here that I almost feel myself afloat.
Lyme is a favorite place for our fraternity, I'm afraid, which does not greatly add to its delights in my eyes. Coming, Harville?
Yes, of course,
Miss Elliot, I should be very grateful if you could bring yourself to befriend poor Bennick a little.
Aye, Captain Wentworth?
He's a good enough chap, but a little on the serious side. But then he has some reason to be. Poor fellow, he's recently had a great sorrow, I'm afraid. A sad disappointment. I think I need not say more.
And is that why you think me so suitable a companion for him?
I beg your pardon. I did not realize. Please forget entirely what I said.
Oh, please, I did
Don't
not mean...
Somebody. There's Captain Wentworth.
Hello, Louise, are you fine?
Please excuse me, Miss Elliot.
But Captain Wentworth, I...
Dear,
what have I said?
Miss Elliot.
Oh, Captain Bennick.
May I have the pleasure of conversing with you a moment?
Yes, of course, if you wish.
Mr. Musgrove tells me you are a keen student of literature.
Oh, I don't know that I am much of a student, Captain Bennick. I'm a great reader, certainly.
I find great solace in reading myself. That is why I find the company in Lyme, for the most part, somewhat irksome. Intellectual pursuits, I'm afraid, are not highly prized in my walk of life, Miss Elliot.
Indeed.
Which do you prefer, Miss Elliot? The Lady of the Lake or Marmion?
I'm sorry. What did you say?
I confess I have a strong preference myself, but I shall not declare it until I've heard your views.
Preference? Oh, between the lady... Oh,
what
no!
What's that? What's happened? Louisa! Are you hurt?
Louisa!
She struck her head.
She's dead!
Louisa, answer me.
Oh, God, how awful.
What is it?
Is there no one who can help me? Oh, thank God.
Loosen her clothing. No, here, let me.
She's dead. I know she is. She's dead.
No, she is not. She's still breathing. Somebody fetch a surgeon. Captain Bennett.
Yes, he knows the place. Run for a surgeon, quickly, man.
Yes. Lift her up a little. Well, support her. Oh, there. That's better.
Oh, God, it was my fault. It was all my fault.
It was not your fault, and you are not to think it. Oh, I saw her eyelids flickering just then. Yes, look.
Oh, heaven be praised. Heaven be praised.
Perhaps in a few moments, you and Charles could lift her up and carry her to the inn.
Anne, at last.
Well, now, what does he say?
A severe concussion of the brain, but no immediate danger.
Thank God for that, anyway.
But recovery may take some little time. Meanwhile, she cannot be moved, and we must make some provision for her to remain here in Lyme.
Oh, dear, that is something of a complication, I must confess.
Oh, there's no difficulty about that, I can assure you. My wife and I insist that she comes to our house.
Harville, that's extremely good of you.
Oh, but we could not put upon you so greatly.
It'll be no imposition. We're glad to be able to help.
That's most kind. Most civil.
Most kind, indeed.
Someone can stay and look after her, of course. Anne, perhaps. None so proper and capable as Anne.
Thank you. I shall want merely a mattress on the floor beside her bed, if Mrs. Harville will allow me.
You, Musgrove, can stay on a night or two at the inn to look after matters while I take the other two ladies back to Uppercross. Mrs. Charles will be anxious to get home to the children, I've no doubt.
Yes.
Well, now, I must go and see about the chaise.
What is this? Go home while you remain here in line, Charles. I'm sure I don't see why I should.
But, my love, this is Wentworth's arrangement, not mine.
I'm sure I don't see why I'm to be banished in this way.
There is no question of banishment, my dear.
Besides, I am a surely much more fit and proper person to remain with Louisa. After all, she is my sister-in-law, while Anne is not related in any way. Really, I think it a quite extraordinary suggestion of Captain Wentworth's. Most extraordinary.
Well, don't you, Charles?
Circumstances, she should remain to nurse Louisa. So, if you wouldn't mind, Anne,
No, of course not. I quite understand.
Thank you once again. I will go up to tell Mary straight away. Ah, here are Bennick and Wentworth. They will look out.
So, we are to lose you again so soon, are we, Miss Anne? I must say that is gloomy news indeed. There are few enough cultured and informed minds in a place of this sort, I'm afraid.
What's that?
Miss Anne is to be torn from us, I understand. Just as we were beginning to know each other, eh, Miss Anne?
You're returning with myself and Miss Henrietta to Uppercross. But that was not the arrangement.
Oh, do not blame me, please. The wish is not mine, I can assure you.
Oh, very well, very well. It's pointless to argue, I suppose. Come, we must make a start. We shall not get back before dark.
So, you were left all alone, eh? Poor Anne.
Oh, I have Jemima and the boys for company. Thank you, Lady Russell.
Ah, yes.
I could always join Elizabeth and my father in Bath if I wished, but I have had no desire to, with poor Louisa so ill.
No, but
however,
I think...
However, now that it seems she is mending, I suppose I cannot in politeness put it off much longer.
My dear, I really think you should go before anything too unfortunate happens.
Oh, what exactly do you mean, Lady Russell?
That creature, Mrs. Clay. I'm quite sure she's not to be trusted. And your dear father, well... He is a little too easily flattered. Do you now see what I mean?
Yes, I think I do.
And now, my dear, the latest information is that your cousin Elliot is in Bath, a recent widower, and behaving most attentively to your father and Elizabeth, so it seems.
Mr. Elliot? But Elizabeth cannot bear him. He once behaved most hurtfully to her, if you remember. And she is not one to forget such a thing easily.
Well, she has forgot it now, apparently. He is a man for whom I have no liking. No liking at all.
Perhaps we judged him harshly, Lady Russell. After all, he was very young. And we all change, I suppose, as we gain greater experience of life.
Perhaps. But alas, not always for the better. Anyway, I regard his presence there as yet another reason why you should go to Bath, my dear. To see for yourself what is truly afoot in that direction.
Anne, my dear, we're so pleased that you decided to come at last. Father is in the sitting room.
I came as soon as the news of Louisa was sufficiently good.
Louisa? Oh, yes, of course. She is better there now.
Yes.
I'm so glad. You only just missed Mr. Elliot.
Oh, yes, Mr. Elliot.
He wanted most particularly to see you, but he is walking Mrs. Clay round to an engagement with friends at the pump room, which is civil of him, I must say, because between you and me, he cannot really abide her. Father, here is Anne. Is she not looking well?
Ah, there you are, my dear.
Father.
Well, and what do you think of Camden Place, eh? Tolerably fine, is it not?
Very nice, Father.
Oh, it's quite the place to be now, I can assure you.
It is always, oh, cannot we find lodgings in Camden Place to be near the Elliots? Is it not, Elizabeth, my dear?
Oh, yes, there are carriages at the door at all hours of the day and night. Mr. Elliot was remarking just the same thing only the other evening.
Well, Anne, my dear, I'm glad to see you haven't let the sun and sea air affect your complexion at all. Very wise. Last time Mary went to the seaside, she returned with a nose as red as a washerwoman. I hope this time she's learned better.
Oh, Mary is reasonably well, I think, Father.
I cannot abide a woman who doesn't take proper care of herself. Why, even here in Bath, one tolerably handsome woman will be followed by as many as 5 and 30 absolute frights.
Oh, Father, there are many fine women in Bath. You know there
are. Oh, yes, yes, a few, I grant you. But do you know, the other day I took the trouble to stand in Milsom Street and I counted 87 women go by before there was one of even passable appearance. Oh, I grant you it was a cold morning, which is a test hardly one woman in 1,000 can stand, but I can tell you I returned home quite disgusted.
Is it not fortunate that Anne has come today, Father? She will be here for our little party tomorrow night with our cousin, the Dalrymple.
Oh, I fear I am not free tomorrow night.
Lady Dalrymple has rooms in Laura Place, you understand. They always do things in style, of course, the Dalrymples, but they promised to be present for a time.
And so has Mr. Elliot.
Indeed, my dear. He should think himself exceedingly fortunate. He would hardly be likely to meet the Dalrymples in any other way but through ourselves.
Oh, gracious me, not another caller. And at this time of night, too.
This is how it has been ever since we came to Camden Place, I can assure you. See who it is, would you, Elizabeth, my dear?
Very well, Father.
Ah, yes, we have a very numerous acquaintance, as numerous as anybody in Bath, I dare say. And now, by all accounts, we're to have Admiral Croft and his wife for neighbours, too. That's the latest. And that fellow, his brother-in-law.
Captain Wentworth, you mean? Oh, but he is still in Lyme, surely. I mean...
Wentworth, eh? Is that the chap's name? Well, Croft is not too bad a fellow for a sailor. As long as he doesn't presume too much on our previous acquaintance, that's all.
Father, Mr. Elliot has returned.
Ah, Elliot, back again, eh?
I had to return this way, sir. I took the liberty of calling in.
Allow me to present my second daughter, Miss Anne.
How do you do, Miss Elliot?
How do you do?
Come along into the drawing room. Elizabeth, bring Mr. Elliot through.
We've met before, though I can see you don't recall it.
Have we? I'm afraid I don't.
Quite recently at Lyme, on the steps of the Cobb.
Oh, that dreadful evening.
Ah, there was an accident, was there not? I heard about it later at the inn. I hope the poor young lady in question has quite recovered.
Oh, she is mending slowly, thank you, but is still not yet strong enough to leave Lyme, I'm afraid.
It was a most unfortunate thing. You seemed, if I may say so, such a happy, congenial party. I had observed your arrival early and envied you all.
Mr. Elliot, do not stay in there, please. You look most uncomfortable. Come and join me and my father in the drawing room.
Oh, I am well enough here, thank you, for the moment. Your father and sister are most insistent that I should meet your kinspeople, the Dalrymples. Do you know them?
I do.
Your manner of speaking tells me all.
I'm afraid my idea of good company doesn't accord with my father and Elizabeth's, Mr. Elliot. I like clever, well-informed people who have plenty of conversation. That is what I call good company.
That is not good company. That is the best. A good company requires only birth, education, and manners. And with regard to education, it is not very particular. My cousin shakes her head. She is not satisfied. She is fastidious. Ah, I'm sure you have every right to be. But ask yourself, will such an attitude bring you happiness? Would it not be wiser to accept the society of the good ladies of Laura Place and their like for what it is, and enjoy the many benefits it brings? Depend upon it, they will move in the first set in Bath this winter. And rank is rank, whatever you may feel about the justice of it.
Well, I suppose the truth of the matter is that I am proud. I have to confess that it does vex me to see my father and Elizabeth straining after a relationship which, it is quite obvious, is held to be of no consequence by the Dalrymples.
Oh, pardon me, Miss Anne, but you are unjust to the claims of your family. Our family, in fact. In London, perhaps, it might be so, but here in Bath, Sir Walter Elliot will always be worth knowing.
Then I certainly am proud. Too proud to enjoy a relationship which depends entirely upon one's situation.
Oh, I love your indignation, I must say. But there is another aspect of the matter which you seem to have overlooked. Might not the pursuit of the illustrious Dalrymples serve to deflect your father's attention from another who is, to put it mildly enough, socially his inferior?
You mean... Oh, that thought had not occurred to me.
But I see that I have stayed in here with you long enough. Politeness demands that I join the others.
Well, what do you think of him, eh? Is he not greatly improved in appearance since he was a young man?
Oh, I expect Anne would scarcely recall him, Father. He came to us on but a few occasions, and then always, if you remember, when only I was at home.
Ah, yes, yes. Well, see that he's brought to the attention of our cousins, the Dalrymples, tomorrow night, will you, Elizabeth, my dear?
Of course, Father.
He's quite a presentable fellow these days. We should do what we can for him. And you, Anne, my dear. Now, if Lady Dalrymple is pleased with you, it might very well mean inclusion among the young ladies of Laura Place.
I'm sorry, Father. I thought I'd already made it clear that I cannot be here tomorrow night.
Oh, how is
that? Indeed, and why not?
Because I am already engaged for the evening.
Indeed? To whom, pray?
There surely cannot be any function worth attending on the night that we are entertaining here. It will merely consist of those who were disappointed of our invitation.
This is a purely private visit, Father, long ago arranged to an old school friend in Westgate Buildings.
Westgate Buildings?
And who is Miss Anne Elliot visiting in Westgate Buildings, may I ask? Ah, some poor old lady, whose only attraction is that she is weak and sickly, I suppose. Oh, Mary, my dear, you have the most extraordinary taste. Everything that revolts other people, mean rooms, low company, foul air, seems to delight you. What is her age, this poor, unfortunate personage? 40 if she's a day, I'll be bound.
I have already told you, Father, she and I were at school together. She is not yet 31. But she has had the double misfortune to suffer from arthritis and to be a widow.
So, just as I said, a cripple.
And who is she, pray? This person?
Oh, you would not know her, I'm afraid.
Oh, why not? What is her name?
She was a Miss Hamilton. Her married name is Smith.
Smith?
Indeed. I'm afraid we're very little the wiser, my dear. And who was her husband? Eh? One of the 500 or so Mr. Smiths to be found in every town, I suppose.
I suppose so, Father.
So, Miss Anne Elliot prefers the company of this Mrs. Smith to her own family connections among the nobility of the land. Is that it? Ah, Smith. What a name.
Dear Anne, how good of you to come. Please forgive me if I don't get up.
Oh, no, don't move, please.
There. Come and sit down.
Thank you. Oh, well now, how are you? It seems such a very long time since those horrid days at school.
Oh, yes, indeed, does it not? Yet somehow I seem to have been able to observe the career of Miss Anne Elliot from my chair before the fire. In my mind's eye, at least.
You have observed my career, as you call it. How can that be?
Oh, we invalids have our special powers, you know.
Oh, I think you must have.
No, indeed, my dear. I will mystify you no longer. I have no supernatural powers, I can assure you. Merely a numerous acquaintance. And it has reached my ears that a certain kinsman of hers is very much taken with Miss Elliot and is ardently seeking her company.
A kinsman? Well, I can think of no kinsman, except my cousin.
Ah.
Oh, if it is he you mean, then I'm afraid your informant is quite wrong. You must mean my sister, Elizabeth.
No, I do not. I mean you, Anne.
But that is quite ridiculous, because we met for the first time only last night.
Really? Was there not another brief meeting some while ago by the sea?
Oh, yes, at Lyme. Well, he saw me, I believe, but I was not particularly aware of seeing him.
Precisely.
Is this informant of yours? What exactly has been said?
Nothing that could possibly cause you a moment's displeasure, I can assure you. Dear Anne, do not look so angry.
No, I am not angry. Merely astonished.
Oh, I will not trouble you with the sources of my information. They are too devious. But I think you will find them to be correct in their facts. In the meantime, what is your opinion of Mr. Elliot? I would very much like to know.
I can scarcely say, on such a short acquaintance. But I must admit I find him extremely easy and agreeable in conversation. Yes, very agreeable indeed, more so than I had anticipated. Why do you ask?
Oh, yes, yes, he is a man of keen intelligence. I have no doubt of that at all. And as your father's next of kin, the future master of Kellynch Hall, I suppose.
I'm afraid I really do not see the implication of all this.
Oh, no, 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 please do not be angry with me. Forgive an invalid's interest in matters that are not her concern. We will not discuss the subject any further. Now, tell me, what balls and entertainments have your father and Elizabeth in store for you? For I am quite sure they have a great many.
Mrs. Freemantle at home on Wednesday the 17th.
Yes. Mm-hmm, yes.
Captain and Mrs. Wallace request the pleasure.
Ah, now, Mrs. Wallace. She's my notion of a mighty, pretty, elegant woman, my dear. Good, good, good. We'll accept that.
Oh, and here is one from Mrs. Furlow.
Furlow? Furlow. I don't recall the name. From what address?
105 Warminster Road.
What? Oh, it cannot be.
Well, that scarcely requires an answer, I should think.
Scarcely, my dear. Is that all this morning?
Oh, and there is a very civil note from Cousin Elliot, thanking us again for the other night.
Indeed. He was very grateful, I know, for an opportunity to be presented to the Dalrymples.
His only regret, apparently, was that he did not extend his acquaintance with you, Anne.
Anne, Your sister is speaking to you.
What's that? Oh, I'm sorry. Mary's writing is always so bad, I can scarcely make out the meaning.
I said, Mr. Elliot speaks of you in his letter.
I thought he looked quite well the other night. Did you not? Oh, quite well. Yes, I must ask him who makes his shoes.
Goodness, what is it? Louisa Musgrove, if you please, has become engaged to Captain Benwick.
Louisa? But she was almost as good as engaged to Captain Wentworth, from what I heard.
Benwick? Benwick? Did she say where his family comes from, my dear?
Well, that is the most astonishing thing I ever heard in my life.
Oh, well, they were thrown together, no doubt, during her convalescence. And you know what Louisa Musgrove is.
Yes, but I can still scarcely believe it.
Well, what does Mary say? Tell us what she says.
We are all very well pleased, however, for though it is not equal to her marrying Captain Wentworth, it is infinitely better than marrying into the Hayter family.
Anyway, this disposes of Charles's ridiculous idea that Captain Benwick was fond of you, Anne. I cannot imagine what could have given him such an absurd notion. It's very quiet here now. Nobody ever comes near me these days. And it'll be worse soon, as Admiral and Mrs. Croft are shortly to go to join you in Bath with Captain Wentworth, while the Admiral is treated for his gout. And I'm quite sure I shall die of boredom. But Charles is quite unconcerned, so long as he can get his shooting. I've been far from well lately.
And Jemima has just told me the butcher says there is a wretched sore throat about. I am sure to catch it. And you know how bad my throats always are.
So Croft has the gout, has he? Poor old gentleman.
Anne, where are you going? What is the matter?
Oh, nothing, nothing. Please excuse me to take no notice.
I've no doubt they will seek to profit by our acquaintance, eh, my dear? Oh, well, I have no great objection. How do you think they would go down in Laura Place?
Oh, Father, no. Situated as we are with the Dalrymples, we should be very careful not to embarrass them in any way. Much better leave the Crofts to find their own level.
Ah, well, perhaps you're right, my dear. Perhaps you're right. What has happened to your sister, then?
He does not love her. He does not love her. He's free. And he will soon be here, in Bath.
Good morning, Miss Elliot. Atrocious weather, is it not?
Captain Wentworth.
I thought I saw you standing there, sheltering from the rain.
Elizabeth and Mrs. Clay have gone home by carriage, but I prefer to walk. I thought the rain was stopping, but I see it is not.
Never mind. I came to Bath but yesterday, and I've already equipped myself with an umbrella, as you see. I wish you'd make use of it, if you're really determined to walk. Though I can't help thinking it would be more prudent to let me get you a chair.
Oh, I'm very much obliged to you, I'm sure, but I'm only waiting for my cousin.
Your cousin?
Mr. Elliot. He was to see Elizabeth and Mrs. Clay into the Dalrymples' carriage. There was only room for two. Oh, here he comes.
I'm sorry to have left you alone such an exceedingly long time, but... Oh.
Well, I am not alone, as you see. May I present Captain Wentworth?
How do you do, sir? I think I recall seeing you once before briefly, do I not? On the steps of the Cobb at Lyme.
That is quite possible.
Come then, Anne. I think the shower is passing. If you would excuse me, Wentworth.
Of course. I didn't realize. I beg your pardon.
Shall we go in?
No, indeed. We cannot take our seats until Lady Dalrymple arrives.
They will not commence the concert till our party is seated, my dear. You may depend upon that.
All the same, I think I shall go inside, Father, if you don't mind.
Do so by all means, my dear, if you wish. Ah, Mrs. Wallace. Ah, good evening. My goodness, but you're looking extremely well in your colour.
Captain Wentworth.
Oh. Good evening.
This time it is I who take you a little by surprise, is it not? I must apologize for leaving you a trifle unceremoniously this morning.
Not at all.
Have you a seat?
I have. Further back. But I'm in no great hurry to fill it. I've scarcely seen you since our day at Lyme.
That dreadful day.
I'm afraid you must have suffered for it the more for having been so calm at the time.
Oh, I have not been a sufferer.
Yet that day has had certain results not entirely as unhappy as one would have at first supposed. Who would have thought that when you had the presence of mind to suggest Bennick was the properest man to run for the surgeon, you'd have been instrumental in bringing the two of them together, eh?
You know, then, of their attachment?
Of course. Know and delight in it. Bennick's a good fellow at heart, in spite of his manner.
And Louisa is a very sweet girl.
Oh, I'm sure of it. All the same, there are aspects of the matter I find a little surprising, shall I say?
Yes, indeed, I fully agree with you.
I mean merely that Bennick was once sincerely attached to the finest and best of young women, Harville's sister, and was disappointed. Perhaps you didn't know.
I had heard something of the sort, yes.
It was deemed an imprudent match, on the lady's side, I mean. And poor Bennick was dismissed.
Oh?
A man does not soon recover from a devotion of the heart to such a woman, Miss Elliot. I can assure you.
No.
He ought not. He does not.
Ah, Lady Dalrymple, here we are. From the front. Do line up, please. Turn back, turn back. Lady Dalrymple, this way.
Miss Anne. Ah, there you are. We're all assembled now, I think, except for you.
Please forgive me. I shall have to go.
Of course.
Perhaps in the interval... Oh.
We shall have to hurry, I'm afraid. They're just about to begin.
Now then, draw up your chair, my dear. That's right. And tell me exactly who's there.
Oh, but Mrs. Smith, you know everyone in Bath, while I do not.
The little Durands are in the front row, I take it, with their mouths open like fledglings about to be fed as usual. And the handsome Miss Ibbotsons with their latest attendants.
Oh, yes, I believe I heard Mr. Elliot mention those names, certainly. But I scarcely noticed. I should have looked round me more.
Oh, indeed, you should not. For your face tells me beyond doubt that you are in the company of the one who interests you more than all the rest of the world put together. Am I not right?
You are very discerning, I must say.
Such being the case, it's extremely good of you to spare the time to come and sit with me.
Oh, please, do not say such a thing.
Tell me, is Mr. Elliot aware of your acquaintance? Does he know that you have come to see me?
Mr. Elliot? You know him, do you?
I did. Yes, quite well. But it's a long time now since we met.
Oh, I was not aware of that. You never mentioned it before. I wish I had known. I would have spoken to him about you.
To confess the truth, my dear, that is exactly what I am hopeful you will do. Forward my interest with him.
Well, I should be extremely happy to do so in any way that I can. But I suspect you think that I have a greater claim upon his attentions than I really have. Oh, I am his cousin, of course. But he has a great many others.
I can see that my information was a trifle premature. Forgive me, my dear. Perhaps I should have left my request until next week.
I'm sorry, but I'm afraid I'm not going to marry Mr. Elliot, if that's what you mean. Not this week, next week, or any other week. I really do not know what can have led you to imagine that I might. All the same, I should be very glad to be of use to you in any way that I can. Do you want me to tell him that you are in Bath and exactly where he may find you?
Certainly not, thank you. If what you tell me about your feeling towards him is the truth...
Oh, and I can assure you it is. But if, as you say, you knew Mr. Elliot in former times, pray, tell me what you remember of him. I have a great curiosity to know what he was like as a young man.
I beg your pardon for the somewhat disingenuous answers I may have given you up to now. But I have been uncertain what I ought to tell you. One hates to be officious, to be giving bad impressions and making mischief. However, what you have just told me alters the whole situation entirely. I think now that you should be fully acquainted with Mr. Elliot's true character. Though I quite believe that at the present you have not the smallest intention of accepting him, there is no saying what might happen in the future. Hear the truth, therefore, now while you are still unprejudiced.
And what is the truth, pray? I should like most exceedingly to hear it.
Mr. Elliot is a man without heart or conscience. A designing, wary, cold-blooded being who thinks only of himself.
Mr. Elliot?
Yes, Mr. Elliot. I can assure you that to secure his own interests, he wouldn't scruple to be guilty of any cruelty or any treachery that could be perpetrated without risking his general character. He has no feeling for others. Those whom he has been the chief cause of leading to ruin, such as my late husband, he can neglect and desert without the smallest compunction.
Oh, you indeed astonish me.
He is totally beyond the reach of any sentiment of justice or compassion. Oh, he is black at heart, hollow and black.
I scarcely know what to say.
The violence of my feeling startles you, I see.
It does. It does indeed.
My dear, you must make allowance for an injured, angry woman. But I will try to command myself. I will not abuse him more than I must. I will only tell you what I have found. Facts shall speak. Mr. Elliot, at the period of his life when I knew him best, had but one object in view: to make his fortune by the most rapid process possible. That is, by marriage.
That I can believe.
At least he was determined not to mar it by an imprudent one. And I know it was his belief, whether justly or not, that your father and sister, by their invitations and their civilities, were designing a match between himself and the young lady in question.
Oh, dear, I'm afraid my father is not always very prudent in these matters.
Such a match he considered at the time to be far below his best interests.
Did he indeed?
That was his motive in drawing back, I can assure you. He had no concealments from me in those days.
What you say certainly accords with his ill-mannered behavior in the past. Yet he has been cordial enough recently. What do you suppose has brought about this curious change?
Don't you see? It's because his circumstances have altered. His wife, poor woman, supplied the fortune he so eagerly sought, if little else. Money is no longer the prime object, which is now to find a suitable mistress for Kellynch Hall when he eventually comes into his inheritance. One who will ensure his proper standing in the neighborhood. And who better than the charming Miss Anne Elliot?
Why should you say that?
Because I know him, and because every single thing I have heard accords exactly with this theory. Besides, there are other reasons for my belief. More concrete reasons.
You mean you have heard something?
I have. My informant happens by chance to be one of Mr. Elliot's intimates, and he is by no means as discreet as one might expect. There is one person who stands between him and his object of securing Kellynch, and all that goes with it. Mrs. Clay.
How can that be?
Mrs. Clay, from all that I hear, is a clever woman.
She is indeed.
In fact, she and Mr. Elliot are two of a kind. Do not you see that if Mrs. Clay were to marry your father, and they were to have issue, well, she at least is quite young and healthy enough, I'm told, that would be the end of Mr. Elliot's hopes of inheritance?
Gracious me. Can he really be so calculating?
Indeed he can. That is what he fears above all. Have you not seen evidence of it? Think, search your mind.
Certainly he neglects no opportunity to poke sly fun at her.
There you are. That is his way exactly.
At her unfortunate circumstances. Her personal appearance, even, which I must say I do not consider in the best of taste.
Taste is of no concern to Mr. Elliot where his own interests are at stake.
What you tell me is most disturbing. Extremely disturbing.
Dear Anne, I'm sorry to upset you, but I have told you all this to put you on your guard. Have you no one you can take into your confidence? Your sister, perhaps?
Oh, no, no, least of all Elizabeth. Especially on any matter that concerns her friend, Mrs. Clay. Oh, thank goodness Lady Russell will soon be here. She at least is my ally. I must go back at once, or they will begin to wonder what has become of me.
Observe him closely, my dear, and see whether his behavior doesn't accord with what I have told you.
And so there you are at last. I had thought you'd never come back. Such a morning of callers and nobody here to greet them but myself.
Oh, I'm very sorry.
First, Mr. Elliot, I have never in my life heard anyone spelling so hard for an invitation to come in. Poor Mrs. Clay had the greatest difficulty in disposing of him. In fact, he became almost unpleasant, she says.
Indeed.
However, she proved successful in repulsing him at last. By what means, I scarcely know. But it was a mercy she did, because within 10 minutes, who should appear but Charles and Mary, if you please, with that Captain Harville person from Lyme.
Charles and Mary, how delightful.
And that is not all, by any means. Mrs. Musgrove and Henrietta are come to shop for her trousseau, and are staying with Lady Russell at the White Hart.
Shopping for Henrietta's trousseau? Oh, then she is to be married as well as Louisa. To Charles Hayter, I suppose.
Oh, I suppose so. But to tell the truth, I did not think to ask. But they require us all to meet together at 12 o'clock at the pump room, apparently.
Oh, that will be delightful.
I'm glad you think it. Well, you can go if you wish, but I simply cannot spare the time. We are engaged for the evening to our cousin the Dalrymples, don't forget.
Oh.
So I must get my hair properly dressed. Or perhaps if you go, you would return that tiresome book Lady Russell lent me and pretend I have read it.
Oh, certainly.
Really, she quite bores me with all her new publications. But thank her kindly and give her my love, of course.
Anne, how well you're looking.
Thank you, Charles.
It's obvious enough that the air of Bath suits you. Harville, you remember my sister-in-law, Miss Elliot, no doubt.
Oh, I do indeed.
And Wentworth, you already know.
Captain Wentworth, here.
There by the wall, look, studiously attacking his correspondence. We will not disturb him. Mary, my dear, come over and join us.
I prefer to sit here by the window, if you don't mind. I like to observe the people passing.
But my love, Anne is here. It looks so ill-mannered.
I really fail to see how Anne can object to all people. She has been in Bath for weeks, while I have only just this instant arrived. Oh, just a moment. Is that not Mrs. Clay?
Where, my dear?
No, no, over there, getting into that gentleman's carriage. Anne, Anne, come quickly. Is that not Mr. Elliot outside there in the carriage with Mrs. Clay?
Mr. Elliot with Mrs. Clay? Oh, they've met already once today. Besides, they are hardly the best of friends. I think you must be mistaken.
There. There, look, quick, before they drive off.
Oh, yes, indeed, it is there. How very odd.
I knew I could not be wrong. Everyone seems to think me extremely foolish, I know. But I am not quite so silly that I could be mistaken in such a thing as that.
My dear, nobody thinks you're foolish, I'm quite sure.
Oh, yes, they do, Charles. And you do little enough to disabuse them, I'm afraid. Oh, well, you'll be sorry one day when I'm gone. Then what, Charles?
Miss Elliot.
Oh, Captain Harvey.
Take no notice of Wentworth there. He's busy, eh? Well, now, we meet in happier circumstances this time, Miss Elliot, do we not?
Oh, I've always wanted to thank you and your wife for your great kindness to Louisa, Captain Harville.
Nonsense, it was no kindness. We grew extremely fond of her. Bennick is a lucky fellow.
Yes, I believe so, too.
You knew, did you not, he was once engaged to my sister?
I knew that there had been some great tragedy in his life, yes.
Scarcely a tragedy, I think. She was fond enough, but they were thought too young. She was deeply distressed, poor soul. So was he, or well, he seemed to be at the time. But his heart has mended the sooner, apparently. You must forgive my feelings on the subject, but she could never have forgotten him so quickly, of that I'm sure.
No, I believe you're right. It would not be in the nature of any woman who truly loved.
Oh, come over here a little. We're disturbing poor Wentworth.
No, no, not at all.
So you think that of your sex, do you, Miss Elliot? That they are faithful unto death? It's a big claim to make.
We certainly do not forget you as soon as you forget us, Captain Harville. It is perhaps our fate rather than our merit. We cannot help ourselves. Well, we live at home, quiet and confined, and our feelings prey upon us. But you are forced on exertion. You have always a profession, pursuits or business of some sort to take you back into the world. And continual occupation is a good medicine.
Granted, part of your assertion, certainly. But I cannot agree with your implication. It is part of men's nature to be inconstant and to forget those they have loved. In fact, I believe the reverse. I believe that as our bodies are the stronger, so are our feelings.
Stronger, perhaps. But ours are the more tender. Man is more robust than woman, yet he is not longer lived. Far from it. By the same token, do our hearts outlive yours?
Oh, dear, I'm afraid our philosophical speculations have driven poor Wentworth away.
Not at all. I've quite finished what I was doing. Please pardon me.
Of course.
Thank you.
Well, I can see that you and I will never agree on this great matter, Miss Elliot. But you are a dear, good soul, and there's no quarrelling with you.
Thank you, Captain Harvey.
Now I must leave you, I'm afraid. Wentworth. Wentworth, don't run away. There's a good fellow. I'll walk back with you.
Anne, my dear, while you were so engrossed with Harville, I have done something I'm sure you will all like. I have secured a box at the theatre that will hold 9 of us for tomorrow night. Ain't I a clever fellow, eh?
What is that, Charles?
I was speaking to Anne, my love.
For the theatre? Tomorrow night, did you say?
I did, and is there anything wrong with tomorrow night?
But how can you think of such a thing? You know quite well that Elizabeth has engaged us to meet Lady Dalrymple and Mr. Elliot tomorrow night. I told you.
You told me nothing of the sort, my dear.
Oh, Charles, honestly, how can you stand there and say such a thing? Anne, you heard me, did you not?
What is that? I'm sorry.
Well, if I did not tell you, I intended to, which is the same thing.
Oh.
Captain Wentworth, I thought you had gone.
I slipped back to give you this. I had to. Read it when you have a moment. I must go.
Well, we cannot possibly go to your silly play, I'm afraid. That's quite certain. You will have to go back and tell them that there's been a foolish mistake. I'm sorry, Charles. But really, I have so few opportunities nowadays for meeting people that when one at last does...
My dearest, I must speak to you by what means I can. You pierce my soul. Tell me not that I am too late. I offer myself to you again with a heart even more your own than when you almost broke it 8 years ago. Do not dare say that man forgets sooner than woman. I have loved none but you. Have you not seen this? I can hardly write. I'm every instant hearing something that overpowers me. And now I must go, still uncertain of my fate. But I shall return, or wait and follow your party as you go home. A word, a look even from you, will tell me whether I enter your father's house tomorrow night or never again.
Well, really, Charles, the fault is not mine now, is it? If you had just thought to say something before doing this, without so much as a word to me, even. Charles? Charles, are you listening?
Mary. Anne, look, she is unwell.
No, I'm all right.
Well, please. I'm afraid you'll just have to return them, dear, that's all.
Shall I call you a chair or something?
No, I would rather walk. Truly, I would.
Then someone must go with you. Mary.
No, please. I'm perfectly all right.
Mary, poor Anne is unwell.
Oh, Charles, don't fuss her so. Really, can you not see it's only the effect of this hot room on a rather full stomach? She just has a little indigestion, I expect. The walk will do her good.
Oh, very well. I will follow her myself. Anne, wait a moment.
Oh, Charles, you shouldn't have come. I told you, I'm quite all right.
I could not possibly let you go all that way alone. Ah, there is Wentworth, just the man. Wentworth, which way are you going?
I hardly know.
Are you by any chance going near Camden Place? Because if you are, would you be so kind as to give Miss Anne your arm? she's rather done for this morning, and poor soul must not go so far without help.
Yes, of course.
Oh, good fellow, good fellow. Then I may safely leave her with you, may I? Thank you 1,000 times. Goodbye. Goodbye.
You've read my note?
Yes.
Then, dare I hope?
Of course you may.
Oh,
Not here, please.
We'll find somewhere quiet. This bench, here, look. Will that do?
Oh, yes.
Dear Anne.
Thank you.
Oh, I've been a fool all these years. What an unbelievable fool I've been.
It was not your fault. It was not really mine. I allowed myself to be persuaded by others.
Lady Russell, you mean?
And then when you came back after all those years, I did not know what to think.
Nor I. You seemed so quiet, so distant.
You were mostly in the company of Louisa. She's very pretty and very young.
She's a fine, jolly girl, but nothing more. Then when I followed you here to Bath...
You followed me?
Of course. Did you imagine I could have had any other purpose in coming? And what did I find? Your cousin Elliot had forestalled me upon every possible occasion.
Him? Oh, you need have felt no pangs on his account.
If that is really so, then I am truly the happiest man in all the world. But tell me one thing before I take you home. Hmm? Had I written to you or declared myself when I first came back, would you have accepted me then?
Would I?
You would. Good God, what a fool I've been. What a proud, blind, stubborn, jealous, dull-witted fool, eh?
Persuasion by Jane Austen was adapted for radio by Dennis Constanduras. Anne Elliot was played by Rosalind Shanks, Captain Wentworth by Geoffrey Wickham, Sir Walter Elliot, Charles Simon, Mary Musgrove, Hilary Newcomb, Lady Russell, Betty Hardy, Mr. Shepherd and Mr. Elliot, Basil Jones, Mrs. Smith and Mrs. Musgrove, Hilda Kreisman, Charles, Esmond Rideout, Elizabeth Elliot, Jacqueline Rose, Louisa, Elizabeth Boxer, Henrietta, Elizabeth Archer, Captain Harville, Ivor Roberts, and Captain Bennick, Paul Douglas. The production was by Brian Miller.